All right, good evening. Let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, may we have a roll call, please?
Good evening, Commissioners. I'll take the roll call. Chair Hartwig.
Present.
Vice Chair Marlene Hurd.
Present.
Commissioner Castillo.
Present.
Commissioner Griggs Murphy.
Present.
Commissioner Montgomery.
Present.
Commissioner Griffiths.
Present.
Thank you. And Commissioner Zhang Li, I understand, is excused. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, do we have a motion to approve the minutes of last meeting?
I move to approve.
I'll second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Carries unanimously. Old or unfinished business?
There is none.
There is none. Modifications to the agenda? We have none. Anyone have any? There are no modifications to the agenda. So we are on to new business, starting out on a very happy, sad note, however you look at it.
We are. The first item is presentation and recognition of Philip J. Neville upon his retirement from the Oakland Housing Authority after 43 years of service. Phil Neville began his career in the Oakland Housing Authority on October 1st, 1974 as an administrative analyst. Following several promotions in that department, he was ultimately promoted to the director of leased housing on September 1st, 1978 and served as director for 22 years. On August 16, 2000, Mr. Neville was appointed as the Oakland Housing Authority's first Director of Development, establishing the new department, and was promoted to Deputy Executive Director of Office of Real Estate Development on April 14, 2006. Mr. Neville forged new partnerships between the Oakland Housing Authority and affordable housing developers that resulted in the construction and rehabilitation of 1,955 rental units for low-income households in 20 developments and 53 affordable for-sale homes. The Oakland Housing Authority's new developments have been recognized with prestigious national awards, including 5 National Awards of Excellence from NARO, 4 Gold Nugget Awards from the Pacific Coast Builders Conference, and an AIA HUD Secretary Award of Excellence in Affordable Housing in 2015. In 2013, Mr. Neville assumed oversight of the Asset Management Department, which provides guidance for monitoring performance of 5 property management companies. Created partnerships with 4 nonprofit boards, 13 asset management portfolios with public housing units, and played a critical role in facilitating the needs assessment surveys and plans for capital improvements for those sites. In 2015, Mr. Neville assumed oversight of the California Affordable Housing Initiatives, overseeing compliance and monitoring and housing assistance payments under contract with HUD for the project-based rental assistance program, serving over 41,000 households in Northern California. Mr. Neville has advocated for the development of more affordable housing in California throughout his career, meeting with legislative staff, testifying before legislative committees, and providing input and comments on amendments to state bills. Additionally, he has throughout his career led the Oakland Housing Authority in some of the most innovative and challenging endeavors and has left a lasting mark on the city of Oakland by increasing the supply of affordable housing throughout the city with an impact that will be felt for generations. I'd like to... Having said that, we're going to go a little bit out of order and do one thing first, because we have someone from the president of the City Council, Ray Leon, here to present a special presentation to Phil, and then we're going to watch a short video. Ray, take it away.
Mr. Johnson, thank you to the chair and the board members. On behalf of the Oakland entire City Council, Phil, last Tuesday evening at our council meeting, we adopted a resolution recognizing and honoring you for over 43 years of service to the Oakland Housing Authority. I don't know if anyone understands the impact, Bill, of what you have made for affordable housing throughout this entire city. It leaves a void. It leaves just so much emotion for many of the residents that actually live here in Oakland that have benefited from your efforts, your staff's efforts, and efforts of this organization. On behalf of all of the Oakland City Council members, which they adopted unanimously, it's interesting if I take a moment of personal privilege. At the council meeting, Council President Reed, who could not be here tonight, wanted to adopt this resolution, and it was going to be him authoring the resolution. Immediately, seven council members said, add my name, add my name, add my name. And it became just this joy of exaltation for you and for many years that you have spent with the Oakland Housing Authority. Bill, you and I go way back. We promised you to retire at the same time, and I'm still here, and you're moving forward. But on behalf of the entire Oakland City Council, we would like to present to you this resolution. Wish you many, many good years, and please stay a phone call away from the rest of us, because we will eventually need you again. Thank you, Bill, for all of your
service.
Turn around and get one quick picture if we can, Ray. Great. Thank you. And thank the council president. So Inez, I don't know how to make this play. Do I just hit play?
Maybe.
There we go.
We find the reason to why. One step at a time.
counting the ways to where you are. I'm 22 for a moment, and she feels better than ever. And we're on fire, making our way back from my when you only got 100 years to live. I'm 33 for a moment, I'm still the man, but you see I'm there, a kid on the way, babe, a family on my mind.
So if I can have the board come around to the front and Phil come on up, that would be great. And also if Harold Davis and John Gressley want to come up and say a few words, I'd like to invite you up. I'm going to start with one very unofficial thing, before they say, because John's coming up. You know, we're going paperless, so we go through all our old files, and I've learned more about these two gentlemen recently than I probably wanted to know. I also ran across the initial memo that John signed on August 1st of 2000, not only establishing a real estate development department, but naming Phil Neville the head of it. So we did frame that for you, so you can take it with you. It's one of the many things we will be taking. And the video, of course, we'll have for you as well. And I want to thank Julie Christensen and particularly Greer McVay for pulling all this together. Wouldn't have happened without him. Now I want to give both, thank you. I want to give both of the gentlemen to my left an opportunity to say a few kind words. We'll start with you.
Yeah. Mr. Executive Director, I don't know why you're qualified. I speak the truth. We have seen a record of the good things that Phil has done since he's been at authority. I knew him before he got here. But I'm remembering now, Phil, the very first day that I interviewed you. I wasn't really sure, and there are very few things that I'm not sure about that I do. But I wasn't quite sure, but I said, I'm going to take a chance on this guy. So sitting here tonight is very revealing and very satisfying to me to know that I made a good decision in hiring you. I think John Gressley will testify to the fact that there was one thing we both had difficulty with Phil on. He could sell a bag of goods, but then he would unsell them. We never could stop him from talking. But we prevailed and we persevered. And Phil, you have been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person, manager, developer, and we all owe you sincere gratitude. One other thing, Phil, I was looking at your shoes. You remember the shoes you had on when I interviewed you? Yes. They were, maybe, I guess you're old enough to, they were chukka boots. That was one reason why I had some doubt that somebody would come to an interview with chukka boots on. And the way he sat in that chair, you thought he was interviewing me. And maybe he was, because we formed a very good relationship that has persevered through the years, in spite of the fact that I am the older. When we played basketball at the Oakland Athletic Club, he never could win. Some people would say that he let me win because I was a boss, but that's not the truth. I won because I was better. Would you agree, Phil? Yes, you would agree. But nevertheless, we very much appreciate the 43 years you've spent here. There have been a good return on an investment that we made in you. And you return fourfold. In fact, we can't enumerate the extent and the degree to which you have benefited not only the Oakland Housing Authority, but all of those whom the Oakland Housing Authority serves. Congratulations and enjoy your retirement.
Well, I'll add a few cents to this. First, I want to thank Eric for organizing this event this evening. I think it's great when one member of a team recognizes the other members of the team, and I particularly appreciate your holding this event, Eric. Thank you for doing that. And to Greer and the Housing Authority team for putting that video together. It's fantastic. I should point out, however, that properties don't build that fast. those properties that you saw being built were formed in a little kid's head back in the 90s. A little kid was Phil. Back in the 90s, Phil wanted to see this housing authority get involved in development, and he was itching to go. And our first foray, in fact, was buying, when Mr. Davis allowed us to buy the parking lot next door, which is the one you saw going up. It wasn't the first one completed, but that was our first foray, was buying that property. The second foray was in about 1995, and I think it was 95, when we had a chance to buy Keller Plaza. And that was, and we acquired that, did a redevelopment. That became the beginning of Oakland Housing Initiatives and Keller Housing Initiatives. Those were all, those names, by the way, were Phil's names. He came up with those names. But he was like a little kid in the sandbox, wanted to build things with plastic containers, you know, turning them upside down and all this stuff. And But I want to go back before that for just a minute, because what you saw pictures of is the visible stuff that happened in Oakland because of the work that Phil and his team did. What you didn't see in that video, because there's no way to show it, is all of the families in the Section 8 program, which is now, what, you've got around 14,000 families, probably close to that?
On the MTW side.
Yeah.
And then additional.
Yeah. But when I came here in 78, Phil was in charge of what was then called Section 23. It became Section 8. We had 1,400 units. Phil grew that program in the leased housing department so that it was around 8,000 or 9,000 units, I think, by the time he moved over and went to development. He grew that program, and when he left that program, it was considered one of the greatest successes of Section 8 in the country. It was being studied because of portability, and what a valuable program that was. And Phil put quality into that. And then when we got Hope 6, his opportunity to stop playing with sand and plastic containers in the sandbox came along. And probably one of the luckiest, fortunate decisions I ever got to make was to move him into development, where he had never done any of this, but he had the passion to do it. What drove him in Section 8 and drove him in development, both, was serving families with quality product and quality services. And I don't think there's anyone any more deserving of the recognition he's receiving today than Phil. He's done a fantastic job. And he's done it. I also want to give credit to the team he's assembled. He is great at assembling teams. If you ask the people that worked with him in his department, they will tell you they love working with him. I mostly loved working with him. But we were on the same team, and I feel fortunate that in my life, I got to spend time on the team with Phil Neville. And I want to congratulate you again, Phil, for all the great work you've done.
Thank you both. A couple other things. Aside from the video, we also, and this is a bad facsimile of the book that was not delivered this afternoon, but we will get you the hard copy bound one with a cover. And you need to look at it because it's truly an amazing piece of work that all of your staff and some leased housing staff all got to Greer, and they put together a kind of wonderful publication. So you'll have that to go as well. There are a couple of other things that we want to get to. One, before we move on, though, I want to let you know we have a certificate from Barbara Lee. She wasn't, or nor his staff, able to come tonight, but it's just congratulating you on your 43 years of devoted public service. Your exceptional work has made Oakland a better place for our entire community. Thank you, Phil Neville. I also thought that you should probably take one award of excellence home in violating my standard of keeping it in the room for a year. And so I want to have you take the 2017 Award of Excellence from NARO for Ave Vista home with you as well. And the final award is actually from the entire board. So I kind of want to invite the chair to say a few words and anyone else in the board that would like to say anything.
Yeah, well, I'll just say that it's been, I mean, for me personally, a real honor to be a member of this board and to actually watch what has happened in the time that I've been here, which is about 8 years, because it's just so important to know that we have actually expanded affordable housing in Oakland. And I don't know how we stack up against other people that have expanded it, but we've got to be pretty darn high. So, Phil, really, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And you realize that we're going to have to actually follow up on our discussions of actually having a real glass of wine. Thanks.
Mr. Neville, I'm not sure where we're going, where you're going. It looks like we have Lions Creek Phase 10 to do. But you know that I adore you. I know you know how much I appreciate your expertise and your knowledge and just the years that I have spent on this board working with you. And it's been a genuine pleasure. And I so appreciate your 42 years. 43 years of excellence. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, I get emotional, but I just want to say thank you. You've kind of been like a father to me in the real estate business. All the classes I've taken at Mir College in real estate, you've taught me so much sitting in this seat. Most importantly, today when I drove by Ave Vista, I thought about you. And as people said at the Friday event, are you really retiring? Are you really retiring? So let me just say this. You're really going to be missed. And most importantly, I so love the way that you helped us change our community through real estate and housing. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. I love you. And God bless you.
So, Phil, I'll jump on in. Let me read the award that we are presenting to you from the Oakland Housing Authority to Philip J. Neville. In recognition of your major achievements at the Oakland Housing Authority during your 43-year career, we congratulate you upon your retirement and express our deep gratitude for the contribution you made to improve the lives of thousands of low-income families in the city of Oakland. You have left an enduring legacy. On behalf of the Board of Commissioners and the Oakland Housing Authority, we wish you health, happiness as you move on to your next chapter. And now you get to say some words, then we'll take some pictures.
I'm not sure there's any words that that I could say other than Eric had been telling me, Phil, if you're really resigning or retiring, you really have to put that in writing at some point. You talked about it for 6 months, or I think I talked to him in March. So I put it in today. I did put in a memo today. Yeah. I'd already told CalPERS I was retiring. But at any rate, one thing I do want to say is that this housing authority has had three leaders in a row. Two of them just spoke from that had the tenure in the past, John Gressley and most recently, and then Harold Davis when I first got here. And along with Eric, they've kept the standard of excellence very high at this housing authority. The joke used to be you couldn't get a memo through Harold Davis without him editing it. And so we all learned how to write a little better memo. But I think that has gone on now for all 43 years. And I appreciate the three of you and what you've done to have a high standard of excellence. And it's also true that I got yelled at by all three of these gentlemen and probably yelled back. But I do want to say one quick thing. Thanks for the opportunity. I didn't really want to retire yet. I still wanted to do more of this. But if I look at Bridget, and I look at Denny, I look at Joy, I look at Clint, the team members that have been with me the longest, and of course, others have come and gone. I know that they're all more capable than I am of keeping this thing going. So I do want to thank also one of the most important people to my team, and that's Michelle Brewer. Michelle's been my attorney, our attorney, since we started development in the year 2000, and it wouldn't have worked without her. She remembers everything. And so here I am holding the Ave Vista. No, wait a minute, the Ave Vista Award I'm going to get to take home. That's Bridget's award, but I'll take it home. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Phil. Oh, yeah, and anyone who would like to go back outside, I think there's dessert outside if you want to make your way back outside and not hear the three exciting items. Thank you, Ray.
Okay, so I guess we have to do actual Business. Yes. Okay, so we are now going to move on to item B.
Item B is consideration of a resolution authorizing the executive director on behalf of the authority to amend or execute a new subordination agreement and documents that may be required for Chase Bank to make taxable tranche C permanent loan of approximately $900,000 to Ave Vista Associates LP for Ave Vista Apartments. This is an item that's brought before you. We can bring staff up certainly to answer any questions. David Caduce here and Bridget Galka. It is at the request of Bridge that we could support this third tranche C, which would allow the prepayment of any of the developer fees, including 50% of it, to OHA. We're recommending approval because the development can support this debt, and it would benefit both Bridge and us to close out our development fees and close out the project on that level. We're here for any questions.
Thank you to the chair. I just want to be clear about what this translates into. So there is enough money now in the project in order to get another mm-hmm. loan so that we as the developer fee gets, we get it sooner than later. Is that
exactly
correct?
Okay. And we would have put this in the initial one. It was based, however, the rent structure that was financing the initial loan, commercial loan, is actually several years old. And it was based on rents that were several years old on the Section 8 program. What's happened is the rents have gone up, so now the property is actually cash flowing enough to support more debt. So Bridge is saying, why don't we just get the tranche C, pay off the developer fee, so we don't have to pay them off over time to us and to them.
So it's replacing one loan for another.
It's actually taking one loan, increasing it by $900,000.
Right.
It may be a separate loan, but it's already got a commercial loan on it for all of this. But it wasn't enough to pay us all our developer fees. So the developer fees would be paid over time on the property, and this is actually a cheaper way for the property to pay us our developer fees over time.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Mm-hmm. I move to adopt the resolution.
Okay. Has been moved.
I second.
Seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? It carries.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Item C.
Item C is consideration of a resolution authorizing the executive director to execute a three-year contract with 2 one-year option terms in an amount not to exceed $622,130 with Rising Sun Energy Center for pre-apprenticeship construction training services. This is a contract that went out to RFP. We have historically only had one proposal from this, and that was actually the Cypress Mandela. They did not submit a proposal in time to be considered. The evaluation committee met. Rising Sun Energy is actually very reputable. They've been in business for a long time. Just so you know, I did check with the building and trades to make sure everything was kosher with getting our folks into building and trades, since you know one of our big objectives is to get people working on those developments that Phil has been working on for the past 17 years. They seem capable of doing that. We're definitely going to give them a shot. It's roughly $124,000 per year of the agreement that we're paying for the total 5 years would be $622,130. What I have asked, though, Lenita Wheeler to do, who oversees this program, is to watch them and consider if we do want to try and expand our pre-apprenticeship training program. We may put out another RFP to see if other interested providers are willing to submit. But right now, this is the only respondent. We find that they were perfectly capable, great experience, and we're looking forward to having a new vendor doing this. And that concludes my report. I'm available for any questions.
Yes.
Just what exactly will they do with it?
It's similar. They do a similar program to Cypress Mandela, and actually if we can, Lenita can come up and just walk you through what we're asking them to do in their program, what they proposed per participant, because mm-hmm. it's very similar. Come on. We're being joined by Andres Manriquez, our Chief Operating Officer, and Lenita Wheeler, our Director of Family and Community Partnerships.
Is Rising Sun here?
Yep. Did you press the button?
Okay, that works. Good evening, Commissioners.
Good evening. Lenita Wheeler, Director of Family and Community Partnerships. I did receive a call prior to this evening's meeting. Two of our main partners for this partnership ran into a bit of childcare and traffic challenges this evening. They've got little ones who weren't too keen on them leaving them tonight. So they look forward to working with us and partnering us with us in the future. To answer the question around what it is exactly that they're offering, there's a curriculum called the Multi-Craft Core Curriculum, which they will be offering. It will review. It's a 9-week to 11-week program. If the participants go full-time Monday through Friday, it will take them 9 weeks. They also offer an 11-week program for those who work during the day and will go to the training at night and on weekends. So for those who go at night and on weekends, they need 2 more weeks to complete the entire curriculum. But what they will all receive is orientation to the construction industry, as well as to the unions and the union apprenticeship, which includes site visits to the local union shops, as well as apprenticeship programs and guest speakers. Those speakers are from the construction industry and the building trades. They'll receive construction education, tools, equipment identification, hands-on training. They do workshops in the field with Habitat for Humanity builds to get their initial experience. They're required to have 40 hours of applied math, OSHA 10 certification, first aid and CPR certification. They also receive professional and life skills development, communication skills, computer literacy, customer service, community resources, financial literacy, goal setting, workplace diversity, job search, resume, interview skills, team building, time management, all the soft skills necessary to be successful in the workplace. They even have nutrition and healthy eating. They also will receive case management for 12 months. Even though it's a 9-week or 12-week program, the entire year they receive case management services, which will include employment assistance and career services.
Okay, because the reason why I ask is because when it says just rising sun energy, then I'm thinking that it's basically just, you know, on some form of energy. It's just there's so many different types of energy, you know, services that, so this offers a wide range of other services that they can learn. I mean, it's a complete.
Yeah, it's really focused on preparing people to join the skilled trades. So it's laborers, carpenters, electricians, those, it's the pre-apprenticeship is getting them ready so they can pass the test so that they're prepared and ready to work. Similar to what Cypress Mandela does.
When we first got
their proposal, I thought it was just going to be about green energy. It's not. They do much broader stuff. That's just where they started 20-some-odd years ago. So we're excited to have another venue for that. But it's very, very similar to what ART does over at Cypress Mandela.
Program.
And they have been doing this since the year 2000. So they were originally came into business in 1994. But since 2000, they have been doing this type of work.
The broader.
That's correct. And you're right in recognizing their name. They did initially begin with energy and recognize that they needed to follow the trend of where the work is. But they didn't change their name, although they did change their focus.
Okay. Good. I just wanted to know that if it was, you know, the definition of the explanation of the rising sun energy, you know, and I look at energy as being PG&E or something like that. You know? Yeah. So am I looking at the full training thing? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I actually thought when I heard their name, they were green energy. Mm-hmm. They were installing solar and all of that, nothing else, and that wouldn't have been broad enough for us. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, now I have three questions. I like it. So my first question is, does this play into our Section 3?
Very much. That's the purpose of actually getting people ready so that we can, we right now have roughly 20 folks at any given time that are ready to go to work in our sites. We want to expand that and hopefully get them working on and non-OHA sites as well. We do get calls, though, regularly from the subs and the general contractors who we work with that are trying to meet whatever local hiring goals from other entities and just in general. So our goal is to get everyone working. The one thing I wanted to, again, just point out about that is people will go through this program. They will start the apprenticeship program, but they may not stay in it. The point is that they find another job, and it launches them on a road. It often doesn't play out that they make it through the whole apprenticeship to a journeyman. But if they leave and either go back to school or get another job doing something else that they like, then that's actually successful for me, because it's all about what they learned as a basin. A lot of folks I know in the past have gone to work for some of the big boxes, Home and Lowe's, because it's they've been working on sites, they know, they learn, then they get marketable in the other areas. Yes. And I think our goal is to keep everyone working, not necessarily working in where we think they should, but where they want to.
Thank you.
And it's hard to be an apprentice, because you need to be able to survive times of not working, and you have to save for it, and you need to get enough hours to move up the scale. And it can be hard for folks.
Thank you. And so I have two more questions. 500 individuals with a 90% graduation rate, 78% job placement. Do we ever bring them back, talk to them what the experience was like? Do we ever stay in touch with them?
We do survey those who have gone through our training programs.
Okay.
The individuals that they put in their RFP to us, we did not survey those individuals. That's them telling us what their experience and success rate is. But for those who go through our own programs, we absolutely do survey them, and we keep in touch and continue to offer any supportive services if they're needed.
Okay, great. Let's see, is that my last question? So I really like this. I mean, I'm really into empowering our residents with employment. And nothing changes a family's life but being in a job. You know, that helps them, it helps their family and their community. So I really like this. I'm hoping that the company can come back and we can meet them and talk more with them. Is that something we can do? And we bring them back so we can meet them? They were going to be here tonight, right?
That is correct. That was their intent to be here tonight. They did run into some, like I said, childcare issues. But I will certainly be more than happy to invite them back. And perhaps if it's okay with you, Director, we can do an update perhaps at the conclusion of our first year contract for you.
Okay. I like that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Commissioner Griffin.
Just one quick question. You mentioned that they're very similar to Cypress Mandela. Can you tell me how they're different? Ways in which they may be distinguished at all in terms of the program that they offer?
From what I understand, they offer guaranteed 12 months of case management, regardless of how long the program is. I believe Cypress will support you up until the time of a placement. They may do some additional supports after, but I know they specifically focus on the 12 months. I do also know that they provide the same information, but it's in a different way.
Okay.
They will have the unions come, and it's like a meet and greet night event. Some individuals, even prior to the conclusion of training, are hired at that time. And they don't have the, I know Cypress has the large building over off of the Fruitvale Business Center where it's like a sample building inside. They are actually working alongside the individuals at Habitat and other outdoor venues where they can get their skills and practice. And of course their beginnings are different in how both of the organizations began, but certainly the outcomes that they're looking for are the same. Sure.
Hello? Yeah.
Thank you very much. I want to self-disclose that I've known of this organization through my part-time work, Computer Technology Resource Center. They're one of my organizations that I give computers to through our program for the graduates of this program. So I've known about them for a very long time. And I do believe that they did make a transition, you know, wonderful from just creating solar panel jobs, which was good because we needed them, but it's good that they've expanded their list of services. I was curious about how this what we're paying them breaks down to our 20 OHA residents. Are we paying for more than just putting our 20 residents through the program, or how does that break down exactly?
So I know their price is built into enrollments, case management.
Are the students being stipend while they're in the
They program? Do receive stipends. And I'm sorry, I do not have that notes right in front of me, but I do know that is a difference to your question, Commissioner Griffith. While the students are in training, they do receive stipends. I could research that for you and come up with the amount, but the students while they were in Cyprus did not.
And we began saying that Cyprus didn't make it in time. Is this one more expensive than Cyprus?
It is not.
Cheaper?
They are just as competitive.
Yes. So I'm looking at approximately
But I would note that the Cyprus proposal was not considered or open because it was a day late.
A day late?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's $200,000 a year approximately?
And, you know, this...
It's $124,000 per year for the 5 years.
That's correct. And this would serve a minimum of 20 individuals per year. The previous contract that we did have with Cyprus was $100,000, where they had the opportunity to earn up to an additional $25,000 in bonus if individuals were placed within their 90 days of graduation.
Wow.
And their contract was to serve a minimum of 15 individuals per year. If you do the cost breakout for the minimum of 20 individuals through Rising Sun Energy Center, it's about $6,200 per participant. We were paying about $8,300 per participant to Cyprus.
Okay, that's good. I mean, but how? I would love to know how do our residents benefit financially as well as educationally, because I'm curious to see where this money goes specifically, so that just so I can know. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Very interested in learning how this is going to work. I'm going to be really close, stay close on it and see if they are working well with our folks and whether we can get 20 actually enrolled as quickly as possible into the program. When will it start?
We need to confirm with them based off of when we can complete the contract and when their next training cycle is. The current training cycle with them began October 9th.
Okay, let's line people up now. Thank you very much.
I'm just so happy to see that in the curriculum you have 40 hours of applied math. And that's very good because, you know, that leads to engineering and whatever type of programs of higher learning that, you know, kids can. So, I think that's a smart part to be able in the construction industry to be able to know, you know, have some math.
Absolutely. You actually have to pass a test.
Yeah.
And the math credits are actually geared toward passing geometry and other tests required to join certain locals.
Yeah, so. All right. Oh, I do, if it's okay, I do have in my notes that the participants receive $500 per stipend while training. And while they're in the training, there's like a point system that allows them to accrue that, things such as being on time, passing their various tests along the way. But it's a $500 stipend while they're in the training. And the various points are equivalent to dollars.
All right. Want to move it? Okay, it's moved.
Yeah,
Barbara, okay. And it's been and seconded
second.
By Marlene. All
yes.
those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Carries.
Thank
All
you,
right.
Commissioners.
On Thank you very
D.
much.
Item D is consideration of a resolution approving and authorizing the executive director to execute a one-year contract with four additional one-year option terms with 22nd Century Technology for as-needed information technology consulting services in an amount not to exceed $150,000 for the initial one-year term and $150,000 for each subsequent one-year option term if exercised. This is to bring on an IT consultant firm to assist our IT department in looking at our servers and making sure we have outside help in certain areas and configuration of the servers and resources available. So it is an as-needed contract, although I do think that our IT director will appreciate having some extra resources to look at our system, make sure it's stable. We are making a move to the cloud with Yardi. It's been a long road to get to agreement with them, and there are issues that we have to address. Additionally, we want to look at the way our servers are configured and to make sure they're optimal. And that's something that is actually beyond the general expertise of the in-house staff. So we'd ask for your approval to have some consulting services on board to assist with that. And we're available for any questions.
I got one.
Mm-hmm.
Will this also provide training for our staff? Because I think
no.
We got some pretty brilliant people.
They can learn by default, but that's not the role of this contract, no.
I understand. So you're saying we'll always kind of need these consultants? And we won't be able to build our own expertise on our IT staff?
There are areas of IT. We won't. Yes and no. Our IT staff cannot be expected to know everything about an IT environment in the size and scope that we manage. And that's why we need outside resources to be able to call when we have trouble mm-hmm. and to try and troubleshoot. They've done a pretty excellent job at certain troubleshooting. I think they need additional skill sets in terms of other areas in the world of IT. And I don't know if, Shore, you want to say a few words about kind of the help that you're looking for from a consultant versus our staff.
Sure. Thank you. Good evening, Chair, Vice Chair, Commissioners, Director. As Director mentioned, these are specialty areas, especially when it comes to network architecture. And you don't have the expertise in-house, so we would bring those as needed. Consultants for the time being to do the work. And we definitely would learn from them. It's not just they're going to come and do the work and leave. We're going to learn from them. We're going to make sure that documentation is there when they leave. So definitely we'll be on-the-job training and learning while they're doing the work that we don't have the expertise in-house.
But I also think it's really helpful for our staff to be able to call someone and say, this is what's going on. Do you have any idea what's causing it? Mm-hmm. They need that resource. We don't have that skill in-house. They'll never be as astute as a private consultant with people who are expert in different areas of IT, which is really complex at this point. And we need the resource to make sure we can stay not only up and running, which is goal one, but actually have the most optimal setup mm-hmm. system for security and for operating on our servers. I mean, I would remind you that we have about 400 different accounts in this agency for email, but we also move $930 million a year through our financial transactions. And okay. to not have adequate outside consulting services for mm-hmm. security and stability would be negligent on my part.
Okay. I had one question. So it says that even though they're in New Jersey, they have a local office in San Jose?
Yes.
So in doing the troubleshooting, how will they do that?
A lot of things done.
Can you speak into the mic directly in so we can hear you?
Oh, sorry. all this time I've been talking. They do have an office in San Jose, mm-hmm. and they will do that. The design, or if we need them to come over, they will make the trip. It's not that far, mm-hmm. and that's part of the contract.
But they're able to do the majority of the things remotely in this
remotely,
world
yes.
now. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, I have a question. Do we need these guys because of a deficiency with Yardi, or is this a superset of Yardi?
No, it's more complicated than Yardi. Yardi is going to go to the cloud and not even be maintained to us. We have real concerns about just setting up our server and the
okay,
and
I get it.
The server.
I get it.
There's problems with stability in our email. There's problems with stability of our outside providers. And we need someone from the outside to help troubleshoot those before they become more of an issue.
Okay. Correct.
Sounds like money well spent. I move that we adopt the resolution.
All right, we have moved. We have action.
Thank you.
But we're still waiting for a second.
Yeah.
I second the item.
Okay, we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Carries. Okay. we have consultants.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioners.
E.
E. E is an item that comes nearly every year when we have to change our health care. It's a consideration of 9 resolutions required by the California Public Retirement System, CalPERS, health resolutions, which change, in this case increases, the authority's contribution amount toward active employees and retirees, CalPERS health plan premiums for SEIU, Local 29, EPEIU, Alameda County Building and Construction Trades Council, and all represented employees. There's 9 very similar resolutions because we have a separate resolution for each bargaining unit, unrepresented, and for the retirees. If we have any questions, Drew Felder, our Director of HR, is here to answer any questions.
Good, do it.
I'll move the item.
Okay, it's been moved.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? It carries.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Okay, so let's see. We are now, excuse me, we're now on to item F. I do not see speaker cards.
There are none.
I do not see hands. Therefore, we will be moving on to written communications.
Written communications consists of the monthly report, which apparently was every other page was missing because of the way the duplexing scanned. So Inez has corrected that and given you the full report. In terms of other written communications, I've given you the meetings right now for the year for 2018. A couple quick notes. On March 26th is when we pass our MTW agency plan. We expect to make that date. But it is a week earlier than usual in terms of our total calendar, so we may have some flexibility in that, and we'll let you know when we get closer in the end of February if that meeting, if we want to postpone that meeting a week in order to complete the plan and get it get it to HUD. It's actually due to HUD on April 15th, so it's not so it's a couple weeks before that. We don't anticipate it, but it could happen, and I just wanted to give everyone a heads up on that one. The other calendar you can see is a big shaded one. This will tell you when we have holidays, when we have our Flex Fridays, and when we have board meetings. The board meetings are the large letters. January 22nd would be the first one. The blue are holidays, and the yellow are Flex Fridays. So in case you wanted to have that available. And that's all of written communications. We're here for any questions.
Oh, travel.
Hearing none, we can move on to my director's report. I just have a couple of quick comments. First, I want to congratulate Betty Lou Wright for being appointed to the Mayor's Commission on Persons with Disabilities this month. Very proud of her, and I'm thrilled that her voice is going to be there. Also, let you know, I will be out of the office from the 24th to the 2nd, so I'm going to take a week off, which I'm very much looking forward to. Andreas will be here, so you can try and email me, but if you can maybe email Andreas, Patricia and I will both be out that week, if I'm correct. Yes.
No, Patricia's gone that week, or are you here?
Andreas is here.
Everything happens.
He's taking the next week off, and I'm taking the first week. A couple of reminders. OHA-KHI will meet tomorrow. CAHI is on the 14th and Tassa Faranga on the 15th, and it's just some year-end stuff. Related to the CAHI meeting, it's really to consider one item. HUD has informed us they will extend the contract for CAHI for 12 months, and we need to approve a contract with CGI so that we can keep everything going. So we're happy to get another year out of this contract through December 31st of 2018.
Thank you.
You know, this is almost a comedy show.
It is. It is. And it gets funnier because today HUD issued a notice saying they want to see if there's enough people interested in bidding if they were to issue a bid to contract out the services separately. So we're looking at that. Just came out literally 4 or 5 hours ago. But what I would tell you is when I sat in this seat, our contract was up. And we're still sitting in our seats, and we still have a contract. And I'm very grateful for that. Not only do we cash flow because of it, we have money available for investment and real estate, but we've been able to keep the current old contract going now for over 7 years. The other thing I just want to mention quickly, that if the tax code changes stay and get reconciled, and it becomes a bill. So in other words, if they're able to take the Senate side and the House side, get them reconciled and get a bill passed before everyone figures out what a game of cards it is, and objects, then it will have, I think, some impacts on us, probably not until 2019. The 2018 fiscal year bill work is pretty much done, and I would anticipate them to either pass it by the 9th, but more than likely a continuing resolution until sometime in January, February, at which point they will take a serious, they'll probably pass the appropriations. And we are prepared for this year, what's gone before the thud group, and I think we'll do okay. But I do think the tax reform bill has huge issues with us beyond what normal agencies, particularly in terms of what Phil does, should it shut down bonds. The Senate side allows it to stay in, as well as 9% credits. My problem with it, and I'm asking everybody, it's if the corporate tax rate is going to go down to 20%, what is going to be the value of syndicating if you don't need the tax write-off?
Right.
There are different thoughts about that, and there's one solution I heard that may work about the value of the credits, but time will tell. What I do, and I still don't understand, is why the Nightly Business Report can report on last Thursday that American corporations made more money than they ever have in the history of this country, over $2 trillion. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why that they would need a tax break on top of that. And yes, I said that on the record, because someone needs to come and explain it to me if anyone's listening out there, because I truly don't. That aside, I would, on a happier note, I want to let you know that we're having the toy drive. It'll be Wednesday, December 20th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Service Center. Kids will be just getting out of school, so they're not out of school that week. So it's going to change. And I know, Commissioner Hurd, you've been there for several years, and you've seen the mass of children coming, and it's really great. We don't know what it'll be like this year, because kids may not be out of school or out of school in time. But I really want to thank the Police Department, FCP staff for really putting that on. It's one of the great things we do, you guys. I'm always awestruck when I walk through there.
Yes.
The last thing I want to say is that we are going to be redoing the rest of this building. And after meeting with our environmental specialists and everybody else, we've had testing done. There is lead in this building that we have to have abated. There is a little bit of asbestos in some of the joints. And we could do it in place and keep some of the people here, but there's also an issue of every wire that has been put in this building since 1968 is still up in this ceiling. Mm-hmm. And we literally cannot figure out what data wires go where. So the only practical way, because our server's next door now, is actually we're going to move into 1805 and some into 1801. So we're all going up into the old leased housing space while they redo these. They'll be able to take total control of the space. We will probably still have board meetings here as long as the bathrooms work. But if they have to shut off the service of the water during construction, we won't. We will move them. We're talking about either having them next door in our briefing room, which is a possibility, except they don't have the sound system. And I'm also considering two other agencies that are within a few blocks of here. So we may borrow their room for a month if we need to.
How long is this going to take?
I would guess once construction starts, the displacement may be for a year, but the construction or displacement is 6 months.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not a huge, once you get the demolition, the build back is actually not that complicated, but things need to be ordered. We're doing it very similar to next door, so the offices are going to have glass in them, so everything's very open. We're getting rid of the hallway so people can have natural light. One of the problems working in this building is that very few people have natural light because they put hallways all around and there's no windows. So we're trying to use the courtyard and just get rid of all the hallways you walk around and have a very open floor plan and putting the offices back against the solid walls where there aren't windows. And so we're going to open it up similar to next door and it'll be kind of the same finishes. When we're done, this office will house the people it currently does. It will also house CCGS and Office of Real Estate Development and Asset Management. So we'll have a lot more of us downtown here and in this building than we ever have. And the space up the street that is 1801 where CCGS is going to be property operations. Mark Schifferl's department's going to be in there. Upstairs where real estate development currently is probably going to be capital improvements. So we'll be able to consolidate, and 1805 won't have anyone unless we don't have a need for it at this point. So we're going to determine what we want to do with that and lease it out. But I'm personally just excited about getting this building redone in a way that it makes it more comfortable to work. I know you don't see it because we sit in a beautiful boardroom, but in the rest of this building. The HVAC doesn't work very well. The entire finance department doesn't have a single window, nor does the IT only has one on the side up here. And, you know, even an executive, aside from myself and Patricia, there aren't windows. And I really want to try and change the work environment. So,
thank you.
So we're going to open it up.
Thank you.
So that move will go on. And lastly, I just want to wish everyone a wonderful holiday season. And our next meeting will be July 22nd. And may there be January 22nd.
Yeah!
Darn! January 22nd. Freudian. 6 months. I don't know if I could survive it. January 22nd. And just wish everyone, you know, there's peace in the world, joy in your homes, and love in your heart.
I just want to say same to you, because that is incredible. Yes. We wish the same for you.
Yes, we do.
We hope you have a great holiday.
Thank you.
Yes. That is really sweet.
Yeah. Can I ask two questions?
Yeah.
Director, I've had a news. Mm-hmm. I heard a news story that a pier fell at the Brooklyn Basement. Mm-hmm. The Brooklyn Basin into the water. Is that affecting our construction there?
It isn't us. We haven't started construction. Secondly, both lots are not adjacent to the estuary. They're a block in.
Okay, good.
So, no, it hasn't. And I asked the same question that morning.
Good. Yeah. Good, good. And the second thing is I'm still hopeful that this tax bill, either one of them, will find a way not to go through. But if it does, not only will it impact us as an agency, but our families and the individuals who live with us. And I'm hoping we could use our newsletter or other form of written communication to kind of share some pertinent information to help people understand it.
And I think you put it exactly right. We can use our newsletter to educate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Yes. Okay, so where are we now here? I'm losing track.
Are we on
your report?
Report? No, we're all done. We're all done.
We are moving like rockets tonight. Okay, next item is reports of commission committees. I believe we had no meetings. We had no meetings, therefore we have no reports. So now we have announcements by commissioners. Any announcements? We have had a slow month. We have no announcements. We are focused on holidays now. So the next item is adjournment. So for that, we need a motion.
One thing that I've just is I would actually like Dave Kiddo, who's the replacing Phil, heading up our Office of Real Estate Development. Raise your hand, stand up. Dave, you can. Okay. Didn't meet him at the reception. He is here for his first meeting.
Great. Cheerio.
And I think I got Victor at the last meeting, or were you at CalPERS? I'm not sure. Okay, stand up. Our new director of finance is on board and going strong. Welcome.
Well, we could do that. You could have an announcement for that, so we could go back. We haven't read it. Okay, Marlene has one thing she would like to say, so we're going back to item 10.
Okay, so bear with me, staff, and most importantly, I just want to say how much I appreciate you guys, and most of you I don't get to see until the board meeting, but I just want to say how much I care and love and appreciate all you do for this agency. Second thing I want to say, Greer, are you back there? Oh, yeah, you are. Okay. Thank you for this. When I got this in the mail, opened it, a lot of the issues that are in here I care about. Attendance. Public service after high school. And then the ResNet student success story. How do you pronounce her name? Was it Merlinette? Is that how you pronounce her name?
Yes.
Merlinette? Reading about her success. And then it's never too early to prepare for college. Right. Because I went back too. but as the director just stated, this is a powerful advocacy, our voice, and we can do a lot with this with our residents, is getting information out to them in our community. That's all I want to say here. Second thing, bear with me. I attended the grand opening for Axe, how do you pronounce that? Greeny Apartments on Friday. And that was also a beautiful career. I know you helped with this. And I met Aisha Chambers. Aisha Chambers was 159 on the list. 6,300 people applied. Oh my goodness. But just being able to meet with her, talk with her, and have her share her experience of what that was like, to now be in a 3-bedroom apartment, I was really blessed. And the last thing I attended, the building trade holiday luncheon. Also very nice to be able to see some of the contractors, labor union, you know, some people I know. But it just lets me know as a resident how important our work is, how we are changing lives through housing and employment. So again, thank you for all you do for OHA. Thank you.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yes, indeed. That is the going forward responsibility, yes, is to have fabulous holidays,
yes,
and celebrate and enjoy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So do we have a motion to adjourn? It has been moved. And so I guess we're adjourning. So...